19, we'll turn to Lord's Day 47 in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnal. And Lord's Day 47 can be found on page 60. So page 60 for the Lord's Day. But our scripture reading is from Psalm 115. So Psalm 115. We'll read the whole psalm. People of God, this is God's very word. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made the heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And then we'll turn to Lord's Day 47. There's only one question this evening, question 122. And I'll read the question, if you would respond. That would be nice. Question 122 says, what does the first request mean? Well, as we continue to go through the Lord's Prayer through the Catechism, one thing I love about this is that it's not too often we get to stop, think, and meditate on the Lord's Prayer in depth. And we all know the Lord's Prayer. We've all heard it 1,000 times. Maybe we've even said the Lord's Prayer 10,000 times. But have you ever just stopped and thought about the words that we say? And that's why it's so good to go through the Catechism, isn't it? Because we finally get that chance to stop and look and think and meditate. Hallowed be thy name this evening. You know, some of us get so bored with theology and the Catechism. Theology is boring. I want something good. But what could be more, what's the word I'm looking for? What could be more applicable? I think that's a word. Applicable than to know your God. The way he wants us to live. The way he wants us to pray. The way he wants us to think and say and do. And tonight we will see that the way we live our lives will help us hallow the name of God. It will help, you know, this is even more amazing. It will help others hallow the name of God. Think about that. Think about the way you live your life. honoring God will help others hallow his name. That's pretty amazing. There's just so much we take for granted, isn't there? As we live the Christian life, we get so used to the things like the Lord's Prayer, we don't really think about it. So it's so good just to slow down and try to understand the things we say, the things we pray. It's so good just to slow down and understand the things we believe. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer, beloved, calls us to hallow God's name. How many times have we heard that? Like I said, probably thousands. Probably said it 10,000 times. But hallowed isn't a word we use every day. What does that even mean? That we hallow his name. So I looked it up. This is what it, in one of my theological dictionaries, it had a really long, I'm still going to read one sentence. To hallow God's name is to set God's name apart from all other names. But really, it's so much more than that, isn't it? Our text tonight in Psalm 115, verse 1, speaks of giving glory to God's name. You know, the word glory in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word, kavod, it means heavy. It means weighty. Right? There's this sense of divine majesty and awe in that word, kavod, glory. When we hallow his name, we give glory to that name. In Psalm 115, verse 1, we see that these two things are basically the same, hallowing and giving glory. And then in catechism, in our catechism this evening, question 122, it tells us that hallowed be thy name means, and it goes on, to help us to really know you. Do we really know God? I would think most of us know God pretty well. Well, will we ever know God perfectly? Of course not. But our prayer is to help us, Lord, to know you, to really know you. I love that word, really. Really know you. To bless you, worship, and praise you for all your works, for all that shines forth from them. That's a lot, isn't it? So hallowing God's name or glorifying God's name, they're synonymous. They're synonyms. It's the same thing. So we're going to see in Psalm 115, especially those first couple verses tonight, to help us grasp the truth of this first petition. Hallowed be thy name. We're going to look at this in 2 points this evening. The first is to give glory for who God is. And the second is by giving glory to God and how we live our lives. Those are our 2 points this evening. Because, beloved, hallowing God's name may be something we pray, but isn't our lifestyle. You know, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, is it something that we want to do day by day? Because when it is, this is key, when it is, not only do we give glory to God, but others will do so as well. So as we start with point one this evening, giving glory for who God is. When we look at Psalm 115, we see the psalmist has been debating a non-believer. Right? As he starts off with a statement of faith. This is his statement of faith. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. See, giving glory to the name of the Lord, he's hallowing it. He's really setting that name apart. Because then you hear the question that we still hear today, even though this psalm was written thousands of years ago, we still hear this question today. Verse 2, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? How many times have you heard that question? Has anyone said that to you? Well, where's your God? And to this day, when bad things happen, you'll hear that. Hey, Christian, where was your God when that happened? You know, terrible natural disasters happen. You hear it. Gentiles will always point to the Christian. Say, well, where was your God? And I love the answer the psalmist gives. In Psalm 115. But our God's in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. See, he doesn't try to theologically debate this non-believer. He just speakly tells them the truth. Our God's in heaven. Period. Last week in the Lord's Prayer, we looked at this very thing, didn't we? The Lord's Prayer starts with, "Our Father who art in heaven." Right? And we learned about that. The Catechism taught us that these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly. It's so much bigger than that. God is so high above that even our thoughts of majesty, they don't even compare to God's majesty. We don't need to give an answer to the non-believer. Well, where's your God? He's in heaven. His majesty is so big you can't even comprehend it. He does what he pleases. That's our God. Last week it went on to explain that we should expect everything for body and soul from his almighty power. See, the Gentile, the non-believer, they don't understand that. I mean, if we as believers, think about this, if we as believers can't really truly grasp God's heavenly majesty, how's a non-believer who's completely lost going to even come close to understanding God's heavenly majesty, his almighty power? Our God does what he pleases. He's the creator God. The psalmist turns the question back on them. Where's our God? No. Where's your God? Oh, yeah. Their gods aren't even real gods. They're idols, he says. Verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes they don't see, ears they don't hear, noses they don't smell, hands they can't handle, feet they don't even move. Think of Dagon, right, in the Old Testament. Every morning they came in and he fell down and something else was broken on him. They don't even mutter. They can't even speak. How can man give glory to something they make with their hands? How can they hallow it? See, the sad thing is that man's been trying to worship everything else. Man's been trying to give glory to everything else, to hallow anything else except the one true God. They can't stand the one true God. Man will do whatever it can to get away from him. But here's the problem. Man is built to worship. So when they live their life, they know they need to worship something. So what do? Well, they make a God for themselves. They make a God that looks like them. Or if that doesn't work, they make a God that looks like an animal. And if that doesn't work, they make a God that looks like the sun or the moon. Anything but the one true God, right? They can't stand it. They'll make anything. Because if that doesn't work, they'll mix and match their gods. They'll take a human body and put a head of a bird or a head of a bull. Right? They don't care. It has to be something other than the one true God. And if you really, truly think about man, the fallen man, at least the sun and the moon, right? At least the animals are not fallen. Why would you make a God who looks like a man, talks like a man, if he could? Man's a fallen creature. All man does is sin. Let's make our God look like a human. Our psalmist is making fun of them. Like, what are you thinking? Why would you do that? The psalmist says in verse 8, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. How can they hallow or give glory to something they can't hear, they can't talk, they can't move, they can't touch? That's fallen. The psalmist tells us, oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Why? Why should we trust in the Lord? The Lord's been mindful of us, it says in verse 12. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Do you believe it? Is that where your trust is at? Because I'm just going to say this. We all have idols. Right? And we should ask for forgiveness of it. We all put things in front of God that we shouldn't. But the cry of our heart should be, trust in the Lord. Right, look back. We should be giving glory to God. We should be hallowing his name. Question 122. What does it mean to hallow the name? To help us really know you. To bless you, worship you, praise you for all your works and all that shines forth from them. Is that the cry of your hearts? To know God? To really know God? I love that. To really know him. Not just a little bit. I just want to know a little bit about God. No. You need to really know about God, who he is. You know, the prophet Jeremiah talks about this in Jeremiah chapter 9. Listen to this. From Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these I delight in, says the Lord. If we're going to give glory, if we're going to hallow something, it needs to be the Lord. It needs to be God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you really want to know him? Going back to verse 1 tonight of our text. Not unto us, the psalmist cries, O Lord. Not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy. Because of your truth. And I think that's our prayer, beloved. I think that's our prayer. It truly is. Because once you know God, to know him, then everything else just seems to fall in place, doesn't it? Because if you know him, then you can bless him. If you know him, you can worship him. If you know him, you can praise him. You see that list that it says in the catechism. You can't do any of those things unless you know him. And really, ultimately, you can't do any of those things unless he knows you. See, the non-believer wants to worship something that they can make. The Christian worships God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I think that for some reason, it's been on my mind a lot lately. We've been reading this a lot lately. Maybe it's in the catechism or scripture. How many times do we hear, even in the call to worship or in the votum, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of heaven and earth. Haven't we been hearing that a lot lately? And I think it's a good thing to understand the maker of heaven and earth, because we need to know who the creator is. And then we need to know us, the creature. Because if you ever combine those two, you've missed something somewhere. No, he's the creator. He's the almighty. He's the maker of heaven and earth. You're just a creature. No, we're supposed to worship God Almighty. Never think that we're in place of him. See, non-believers want to do that. The Christian doesn't. See, we worship God for all of his works, for all that shines forth from them. The power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. So we give glory for who he is. We give glory. We hallow his name for who he is, for his attributes that we just read. We give glory to him. He's the maker of heaven and earth. See, if he made heaven and earth, guess what? He rules heaven and earth. And if he rules heaven and earth, he gets to make the rules for heaven and earth. The sinful man can't handle that. And it's not like God made these rules to be unloving. Another way of knowing God, or knowing who God is by his attributes. God is love. God is just. God is kindness. Right? God is truth. And one of the greatest things about God to show his love is he shares these attributes with us. Not all attributes he shares with us. Of course, right? None of you are omnipresent. Right? None of you know all things, can be all places at all times. But he shares these with us to show that he's a loving God. What if God made mercy but didn't let you be merciful? That's not a loving God. What if God made wisdom and he was the only one that had wisdom? That's not loving. No. We glorify God for his attributes also because he gave them to us to share these attributes with us. These are the things we can look to and think, thank you, Lord. Give him glory for these things. Hallow his name for these things. And this moves us to point two this evening. By giving glory to God in how we live our lives. Now that we have these attributes as well, and we're saved, and we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can use these attributes for his glory. Hallowed be thy name means a lot more. Because not only does it help us really know him, but it also means that it helps us direct our living. What we think, what we say, what we do. Remember, God has given us these things, not only to give him glory, but to show people how good our God is. Living our lives in a godly way hallows his name. Think about that. Listen, the Apostle Paul tells the Colossians this very same thing. This isn't just an Old Testament thing. This is a New Testament thing. Listen to what Paul tells the Colossians in his letter that he writes to them in chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's all you, hopefully, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now listen to this. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, we need to live our lives this way. Because when we live our lives this way, God's name is hallowed. See, it's not just something that we pray to know him more, but the more that we understand it, the way we live our lives hallows God's name. It gives him glory. Do you live your life that way? Do you think about it that way at all when you wake up in the morning? Well, I'm going to live my life to give God glory today. I don't even say that, but we should. Right? Everything we think, everything we do, everything we say, if we have the mindset that we're going to live a godly life, it gives him glory. It hallows his name. The catechism goes on to say that we live this way so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us. Whew, that's a scary thought, isn't it? I want us to stop and think about that. We live our life this way as a Christian so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us. Whew. Think about that. how you live your life, somebody else could blaspheme the Lord because of you. The things you say, somebody else can blaspheme the Lord because of what you say. We would never want that. Living our lives in a godly way, it hallows his name because others get to see his glory. See, the way we live our life helps others glorify God. The crazy thing is that the way we live our lives helps those that don't even know that they're glorifying God glorify God. Jesus teaches this very thing on the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to this. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify God in heaven. See, they see your good works. They hear what you're saying. And they turn and they glorify God because of it. But how often do we think on how we live? Can do this. When you're at work, when you're joking in the workroom, do your words glorify God? When you're having coffee time with your buddies or your girlfriends and you start gossiping. I'm not saying that you do. But you see, the things that we think, the things that we say, and the things that we do not only help us to glorify God, but they help others to do that. And we need to stop and think about that more often, how we live our lives, what we're saying, what we're thinking, what we're doing. You know, us with children, with little kids, these little kids are sponges. You say one curse word, they're going to repeat it forever. Don't do it. But they're also seeing how you live. They're also hearing what you say. Do our little kids glorify God because of us? That's heavy. That's kavod. It's heavy. I don't think any of us in this room want to live our lives that could affect somebody to blaspheme God. No. But we need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of it. How does the Christian respond when he gets cut off on the road? Do people glorify God when they see our reactions? Or does it lead someone to blaspheme? Well, going back to the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. See, the Lord's Prayer is something that we all know by heart. The Lord's Prayer is something that we've heard 1,000 times. The Lord's Prayer is something we've said 10,000 times. But when we stop and really think and meditate on it, it should change the way we live. Shouldn't it? Hallowed be thy name. It should be more to us. It's not something we just repeat over and over again, and it's okay if you do. But when we pray, hallowed be thy name, there's just so much more. Not only does it help us give glory to God in everything we say, do, and think, but it helps others to do as well. The psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. That's our prayer this evening. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, when we live our Christian life and we just go through the motions, Lord, and we just go through things that we're so used to, we lose so much when we don't stop and think about them. Like the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, there's so much there. It's so heavy. Lord, help us to really, truly understand what that means. That not only do we really want to know you, but that our actions and our thoughts and the things we say help others to hallow your name. Help others to bring glory to you. Lord, as we live this Christian life, when people are watching, Lord, our prayer is this evening is that we don't do anything that would make somebody else blaspheme you. That's the whole, Lord, we never want to do that. But we really do want to give you glory. We want to glorify your name. We want to hallow it. And everything we say, do, and think, Lord, help us to do that this day now, all the way until we see you face to face in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, when the music begins, we're going to stand. We're going to grab our Trinity Psalter hymnal. We're going to sing number 181. Number 181.